Stry TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like Femme Forte, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Go to StrideTV.com and use code FEMFORTE to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stride TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community.
Seeing the kids that we bring to TMEA or like previous students who are still sort of in this musical realm, like running into them and hearing what they have to say about being here and just how transformative of an experience it can be for so many people. And knowing that I had played just a little part in it is another reminder of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a place where we have real conversations with influential female music educators and performers. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. For the first time ever, I was so fortunate to be able to talk to someone I could relate to on a whole new level. Brittany Baptista currently serves as the director of percussion at Lake Travis High School. Since meeting Brittany at the Girls March Houston camp last year, I instantly knew I wanted her to be one of my first guests on the show.
One of the things that was really interesting is that when we met at like Girls March, that you told me that you're moving to Austin. And so it's so it's so crazy because
the stars have aligned. We moved at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad you're at Lake Travis now. And so how's that going for you?
It's great. I think originally I was kind of nervous about stepping into this new role. The scope's a little bit wider. So before I was at a 5A high school and it was just me. Now I have an assistant percussion director, Jordan Reddix. He's amazing. And so he's able to help me out. And I guess technically my role is to oversee what happens for the entire district. And so with him helping me, it's much more manageable. And I feel like sustainable in the long run a little bit just because the nature of our job, it's just we are teachers. We're asked to be the mom and dad sometimes. We're counselors. We are the everything in between when it comes to education. And so I love my job, but I also want to make sure that I can do my job for as long as I possibly can, because anything that has to do with music or percussion related, I kind of knew from the very beginning that this is kind of where I wanted to be, even though I kind of strayed from that path a little bit. So yeah. I think you knew that I originally went to UT Austin and I got my first bachelor's degree in English. And so that was, I really cherish that time. But I think there was a time where I thought that music maybe was just going to stay a hobby. And so when I went to do that degree, I found that it felt a little lonely trying to do something different. And I didn't expect it to create that big of a hole for me, like doing something completely different. I thought that still doing something creative, like having that creative track through the creative writing process and writing poetry and doing all of that would sort of satisfy that artistic itch. But during my time there, I ended up, you know, taking piano lessons. I was in the women's chorus. I did the steel pan ensemble. And then that's when I started to get back into marching band when I did Blue Knights and then ended up doing vigilantes, indoor percussion. So just a whole like whirlwind of things to bring me right back where I feel like I was meant to be in the first place. So while I loved that time of my life, like I feel the most confident that I ever have felt in my current like job position and with my age and also gender wise, like I feel like I'm comfortable in my shoes with who I am and where I am today.
Everything that you just mentioned right now, I am so excited and very grateful that you said yes to being on the show. And first and foremost, I want to say thank you for being a part and supporting this mission. For those of you who are listening or watching that don't know, Brittany and I first met at Girls March. So it was a camp that was supporting female percussionists, literally getting trained and educated by only female staff, and it was a room full of women, just trying to make it out and play percussion, and that's something that struck a chord within my heart. So how did you actually get in touch with Rachel and find out what Girls March was, and why did you decide you wanted to be a part of it?
So I actually didn't even know that Girls March existed until I think Rachel had reached out. It was a couple years ago now, because I've done two different camps. There was one, the first one that I did was based in Coppell, and then the one that we did last summer where we met was in Houston. And so I think the Coppell one worked out really great, because she was probably looking for a couple of instructors that were in the area. And since I grew up in the DFW area, I kind of knew a lot of women percussionists in that area. So I think my name kind of got thrown out there. And so when I heard from her, it was like a no-brainer, like, absolutely, I will do this. I feel like I had a little bit of, I felt very privileged. My high school experience was, I feel, different than a lot of other people's high school experiences. One, I went to Hebron High School, so I feel like that's the sort of epitome of marching band. But also, when I went through that program, I don't know if this was a conscious effort on Scott Baldwin's part or not, but there were always so many women in percussion. And so even my freshman year of high school, we had an all-girls snare line. And so I feel like I always had, was given the opportunity to be in an environment where I felt comfortable as a woman, as a female percussionist. And I thought, you know, it's very important for other women to have that same opportunity, to have a female instructor stand in front of them and see someone that looks like them, someone that is a female, someone who is a minority even, stand in front of them and see that, okay, what you're doing is possible. Being in percussion and possibly doing this and taking this further to the next step, be it, you know, playing on your own, making your own music, or doing it professionally, or even the marching arts, all of that is possible. Which I feel like a lot of younger female percussionists might not know. So a really cool opportunity at Girls March was having the conversations with the girls that attended the camp. Like, what does your experience look like back at your own high school or college? And it was a little bit astounding to me to just hear some of the stories, like, oh, I'm the only girl percussionist. I had no idea that, you know, female percussion directors or techs existed, because I've never seen that before. And so kind of opening up that space and giving them, creating a safe space and environment for them to learn and play percussion, and also just make friends with a bunch of other female percussionists. I feel like I'm like, solidarity, we have to like stand together. And I think it's part of my duty and service to continue creating those opportunities where females can come together and play music or drum, or, you know, just be with other women who are in a field that's sort of still kind of heavily dominated by men. And so I'm really grateful for Rachel reaching out, and the experience has been so great for me as well, like just meeting so many like wonderful female percussionists, including, you know, Sandy Rennick, getting to know Rachel Moore, Eliana. So it's just been a really fun experience for sure.
So with having kind of that experience firsthand, like you said, being on a all-women snare line, do you believe that that quote-unquote inspiration was like the driving force to you wanting to pursue music education more into your career? Because you mentioned earlier how you originally went to UT Austin to get a bachelor's in English, and then went on to UNT to do percussion performance. But I also recall that you went to UNT and got a master's in educational leadership.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, taking back from your experience and being exposed to having already like a very powerful female presence, you know, in your early life, do you believe that that was the driving force to wanting to create that for the next generation?
Maybe subconsciously. I don't think it was sort of an effort of like, oh, like, I think it came from a place of privilege, because it was so natural to me to always see so many female percussionists that it didn't really strike me until after I left Hebron that, oh my gosh, like, this is not the norm. And so that sort of wasn't a conversation that was even had with myself, let alone other people, until I sort of left that bubble of realizing that that's not really the case in a lot of other places. And so I guess maybe once I realized that and kind of put that thought together, it became much more of a present reason to keep doing what I'm doing and to just, yeah, I mean, I think I needed that moment of clarity to kind of see that it wasn't like the other places, but also from the get-go, I just kind of think that it's where I belonged. And so I kind of have to thank my high school percussion director for that, just creating that space for us. And maybe it wasn't a conscious thing of like, oh, like this, he was creating something that was very unique to the times and even now. But he really, you know, did create that space for all of us to feel comfortable, and we were allowing ourselves to feel vulnerable and to learn so much in that environment. And so that is a huge takeaway that I want to pass on to, you know, the future generation of musicians, and also, you know, to my fellow female percussionists out there that are trying to do the same thing.
And that brings me to a really great point, because you mentioned that it was more privilege, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite quotes by someone who's very inspirational to me, there's a quote by Tori Dunlap, and she says, "With privilege comes responsibility."
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally one of the things that has led me into starting this podcast, is I can relate to that on a whole level as well, being through the experiences that I have been and learning how it's not like that everywhere, or not everybody gets the same opportunities. Certainly, I feel like now that this platform gives me that medium to have a voice and to share it with others, that's the reason why this is existing. And so I really am glad that you said that, because that quote, "With privilege comes responsibility," is so important to me. And I feel like in you, how you just kind of summed it up, that's the quote that came to my mind.
Yeah, I feel like maybe even culturally, like speaking to my childhood as like a first gen Asian American, I feel like there was sort of this trifecta, this holy trinity of service, like service to faith, whatever that might be, service to your family, and then service to others. And so for me, especially just like giving to others and feeling like you're giving back to the people around you and to your community is something that I've always took pride in. And so when it came to education, I feel like that was kind of the perfect place for me to, one, keep doing what I love, but also to kind of pass on the knowledge that I have to other people. And I've had such a pleasure to teach in so many different capacities. Like before, like Travis, I was at a Title I district. And so I think it's important to know that no matter what you might have or what you might not have, like there are always kids out there who need a little bit more. And so having that opportunity to share my knowledge with children of different levels and different capacities of different socioeconomic statuses, like it's been, I feel like I've learned almost as much as they've learned from me, just by being in different scenarios like that. So it's been really fun.
And you mentioned that you were a first generation student. And so I actually went on your website and read in your bio. And I love this piece in your bio. It says, as a first generation child in America, Brittany learned two things from her Filipino parents. Knowledge can take you anywhere in this world, and music will keep you company along the way. I love that, the way that it's worded. What does that mean to you, and how did that quote come about?
So I guess especially for my parents, like moving here from the Philippines, like both of my parents are one of five. My grandfather's one of 12. My grandmother's one of six. Like coming to the States, one, it's such a huge deal to have to move your family and take them from, you know, their home and move them across the world. And so when they came here, they didn't have very much. And so, you know, even growing up, I remember I was like always the hand-me-down kid with like the clothes that didn't fit right and the food that might have smelled a little bit different in like a white people's cafeteria, you know? So like I feel like I had those moments of where, you know, we might not have had as much. But, you know, growing up, sort of keeping my priorities straight and knowing my parents just always told me that no matter what, like people can take away your house, like people can take away your food, people can take away your bed, but they can't take away what you know. And so that sort of knowledge is power has always been kind of resonant with me. And for Filipinos in general, like music is a lot of times a thing of escape. So when you don't have much, like, I feel like every Filipino out there is like, oh yeah, I'm like the next Whitney Houston, like I can sing. And so like karaoke everywhere, you know, like music has always filled our house. And even like my mom, like she can play the ukulele, she can play the piano. And so like, I've always grown up in a musical environment. And so with those two things, kind of laid the pathway for, you know, who I am today.
That's truly amazing. And so with us being here at TMEA, do you feel that's kind of full circle moment for you, kind of just see like where you are at your in your career and knowing that, you know, you're making a positive change and all the hard work that has come to you at this point?
Yeah, and I think, you know, seeing everyone in one place, like people's seeing people that I knew from middle school or seeing my old percussion director and just little moments here and there that always happen at TMEA. It's just a reminder of what I do is difficult, but it was worth every moment. And it also seeing the kids that we bring to TMEA or like previous students who are still sort of in this musical realm, like running into them. And hearing what they have to say about being here and just how transformative of an experience it can be for so many people. And knowing that I had played just a little part in it is another reminder of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, you mentioned in the car or on the drive over here about that special moment you had with that student. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think for some students, I mean, I don't do what I do expecting 100% of my kids to, you know, become a music educator. That's not the point at all. Really, I just want to pass on my passion for music to these kids. And they already sign up for band because they have at least some sort of interest in what we do. And so it's, you know, part of my job to make sure that they can learn as much as they can from me, but just also have a good experience. And so I have a student that, you know, seems to be a little like on the fence about band because there are so many different aspects of it. There are some kids that might really hate marching band. And then there are some kids that might really hate concert band. And then you've just got this special few that just love every moment of it. But I do have a student who's super into jazz drum set and not so much the everything else. And so having him for a moment sit in with the Allstate jazz band rehearsal, just sitting in the back of the room, and witnessing sort of the potential and just the high caliber musicians, I think was a special moment for him, because after we walked out, he was saying, okay, I will not leave high school until I make the Allstate jazz band. I'm like, okay, yes. Like another little like spark that I've been able to pass on to another student. Any moment like that I can take, I'll take it, you know? So I think, yeah, I just want to be able to create more moments like that for other kids, because music is a powerful thing. Even if it's something that you don't do for the rest of your life, it's still something that you feel connected to in some way. Like everyone listens to their favorite bands, and, you know, maybe there's a song that's transformed your life and changed who you are or saved you in a moment of uncertainty, and all of that is tied to being a musician and an artist. And so I think it's really important to make sure that kids know that music is there for them, and music is an outlet, and also it's something that you can get really freaking good at.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drill Book. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app, and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB App Pro.
One of the questions I'm actually dying to ask you, so as I've done, you know, my research on you, uh-huh. I found out that you conducted the inaugural TMEA Region Middle School Percussion Ensemble.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I did.
It's been a while since I've, you know, participated in TMEA as a student, but I don't believe that was around when I was a student.
No. And so
I thought that was the coolest thing, and I've just been dying to ask you, how did that opportunity come about? Where did this even start, and how was the whole experience for you?
So that is something, I'm not going to say I'm mad about it, but yeah, it was not a thing that was around when we were that age. So the fact that they're creating that opportunity for tiny little percussionists makes my heart happy. And to be part of that was super special. It was actually up in Frisco. And so for just like a normal region band process, like instead of these percussionists being in the back of an ensemble, maybe playing a couple triangle notes or like a bass drum hit every now and then, like they get to work up three really cool percussion ensemble pieces where it's super involved, and there were eight of them, the top eight students in the region, and so we just spent the weekend playing through all of those pieces, and then we performed them. And I mean, by all means, it was not perfect, right? Because you've got like little middle schoolers and some of them seventh graders, so they've got maybe a year and a half of percussion under their belt, which is crazy to me to see them playing at that level. But it was a really special moment for me because it was something that I wish I could have done when I was their age, because I remember the days of being in region band and, you know, getting a piece or not getting a piece and then being assigned as tacit. And so you're just kind of like sitting in the back of the room like, okay, is it my turn yet? Like, is it my turn yet? So I think the kids had a lot of fun, like just being super involved. And then when we get on the stage, instead of there being 50 people and then mom and dad are like, can we see them? You have like a great view of all eight of them. And I think the parents also had a really fun time, like being in the audience and watching their child on stage performing for like the entire, whatever 30 minutes of music that was. So.
Yeah, fun. That sounds so fun. And I am so jealous. I bet that wasn't like a lot of rehearsal. Was that like similar to like a region band rehearsal where you kind of all get together one day? And
yeah. So I think one important thing to just know is to how to program for the types of students. And so it was kind of hard for me to pick those pieces because, you know, I wasn't sure, like, how much do these middle school kids know? Like, are they, if I pass the music out early, are they gonna rehearse it before they come? Is it gonna be a situation where we're starting from, you know, square one and I'm kind of teaching them the whole thing? And so it was like, I think most of them came pretty prepared, but there were some moments of like, okay, you haven't looked at this yet. But thankfully I had the percussion coordinator for that group. He was there the full time. So that was a great opportunity for me to be like, okay, can we take this one student out in the hallway so they can kind of shed notes with you? And then they would come back into rehearsal. So it ended up working out great. But I think the one thing, like the feedback that they had asked for me, like I told them, if we could get more rehearsal, that would be nice. Just because I think, yeah, like it was just super intense and heavy for, you know, a bunch of like, however old you are, 11, 12, 14 year olds. Like,
I would certainly imagine.
They had a lot of fun though. So,
yeah, I certainly would have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like a full day just doing everything and rehearsing everything percussion. That sounds like super fun.
I know. They did a lot of standing, which they're probably not used to in region band, but
oh yeah,
you know, we stand in percussion.
Yes, I mean, yes, in percussion. If Apple Watches existed when I was in school, I would get like the,
oh my gosh,
the rings, like
I haven't filled. Looked yet today, but I feel like I'm approaching 6 miles today with all of my like fast walking that yes. I've done, like across, because there was one moment where I went the complete opposite direction. And then one of my coworkers calls me, he's like, where are you? I was like, oop, I'm on the wrong side of the building. I'll be there soon. And then so I'm like walking all the way back. But yeah, I got my steps in today for sure.
Yeah, my Apple Watch tracks me running because I was going to a clinic of
so it's like asking you, do you want to record your run?
Yes, that's because fun. I was going to the Women's of Leadership or Women in Leadership clinic that was hosted earlier today. And I realized that it was at 1 and not 2. And I was like, oh. And so then I was running I had to run all the way across, like from the convention center down to the Lila Cockrell Theater. Then yeah. Like, it was this whole thing.
Love it. We love the energy.
Yes. Now, one of the things or one of my goals on this podcast is not just to talk about who you are and where you're from and what you do, but to open up the conversation to some of the struggles we face as women in this community. Mm-hmm. So, you had shared a post on Facebook by someone of the name of Doug Fullwood back in 2021, where you talk about the growing responsibilities percussion directors face year after year. And one of the things that in your post that you said that really struck a chord in me was, and beyond that, women directors are often disrespected and continue to face the inequities of being in a male-dominated career field. # Girls March. So can you tell me a little bit about that and what your personal experience has been?
Mm-hmm. I think it took me a little while of being in the field to feel comfortable in my shoes because there are times when I kind of have to stand up for myself almost and kind of stick to my laurels, so to speak. I think with some people can just kind of assume that, oh, she's like this petite, young looking Asian percussion person. We can kind of just tell her what to do and then she'll just, you know, humbly abide by it. And then so I think at the beginning of my career, it was more of like, okay, yeah, I'll be the yes girl. I'll say yes to the extra responsibilities. I'll do this and that. But I feel like in my particular position, knowing when to say no and how to create those boundaries for myself has been one, a journey, but something that is really important. I mean, I guess for anyone in this field, but especially for women, because in so many instances, I'm like the only woman sitting in the room, which I feel like it causes me to be a lot more self-aware in a sense, to the point of anxiety sometimes. But I think as I've grown into the role, I've learned that I can't let other people tell me that I don't know what I'm doing, because I know what I'm doing. And so I think maybe in my mid-20s, I was still kind of in that place of like, oh my gosh, like that interaction was so weird. I said yes, but I shouldn't have said yes. Now I have too much on my plate. Or a situation where you kind of just get the vibe that this other person assumes that you don't know what you're doing. And then it had caused me to question, do I know what I'm doing? Maybe I don't. Maybe I need to like learn more, or maybe I just need to kind of stay a little more in the background of things. But I've found that my growth has been more exponential when I remind myself that, one, I know what the F I'm doing. Sorry, I don't know if I can. I know what I'm doing. And two, I am no longer afraid of someone who might look older or like tower over me, or, you know, even someone who maybe has had more years of this career under their belt. Like, I think it's just important to have the self-confidence and to just kind of hold my ground. And that's also something that I want to pass on to other girls out there or other people who are kind of struggling in that aspect in their career, of like, it's one, obviously, like, we're not perfect, so we're going to make mistakes. Like, we're all human, but that's not like unique to yourself. Like, everyone's going to make mistakes. And so that isn't a reflection of you as a whole. You know what you're doing. You just have to remind yourself that you know what you're doing. And, you know, I think just having that attitude and have that project is a thing that's helped me a lot get through some of the tougher moments.
And so what was exactly the turning point for you when you kind of noticed that change and had, you know, the more confidence in that different perspective?
I think it took, I don't know if there was a specific like moment of light bulb, oh my gosh, I actually know what I'm doing. But it took maybe some conversations with other women who are kind of experiencing the same thing, which is why, yeah, like we have to keep doing things like this, like coming together as women to talk about stuff like this. But also talking to my fiance, because he's sort of like one step removed from all of this. And then just one, hearing from other women's experiences, two, hearing from my fiance, who I trust with my life, like, tell me that you know what you're doing. Like, why are you so anxious about this when you're a badass and you just need to keep doing what you're doing? And every day you're going to learn a little bit more and get a little bit better at what you're doing. And so that kind of helped me turn around my approach, because I think at first I was so timid and worried about making a mistake, whereas now it's, I feel a little bit more ferocious and like, okay, if I'm going to make a mistake, then I'll just be loud and proud about it and then fix the mistake and never make it again. And so that sort of newfound confidence in myself has propelled me forward. Sometimes I want to joke and say that turning 30 turned my life around, but I think it happened before then. Like, I'm just recently 30. But it did take me a few years of feeling like I was tiptoeing around, trying to make sure that I didn't you know, step on anyone's toes. But at this point, I'm like, okay, well, if I have something to say, I'm going to say it. And then if you have, if you need to come talk to me about it, then we can talk about it. But also, like, this is what I believe, and I want to stand behind that. And I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah. So, you mentioned that, you know, your fiance has been, like, a huge support to mm-hmm. you. Was there anybody else in particular that you believe kind of supported you throughout this, you know, whole journey? Or do you believe a lot of it came from yourself and, like, your own personal journey?
I suppose both. But also my percussion director, Scott Baldwin, from high school, has always been there, like, every step of the way. Even when I told him originally, like, okay, I know that I said that I wasn't going to do this anymore, but, like, surprise, I'm going to, like, do my second bachelor's and go back and do percussion. He has helped me so much with, like, staying grounded, with any time that I needed advice on something, he was, you know, readily available to, you know, have a phone call or, like, just give a quick text to remind me, like, hey, like, don't freak out. It's all going to be fine. Just do this and this, and then you've got it. And so he is someone that, you know, has been there every step of the way. And then in addition, having my grandfather just be super present in my life and is one of the driving forces for me in my life. Like, he's so musical, and I mean, he was an engineer in his career, but I mean, I will always remember just him playing the piano and singing, or having my grandma play the piano and then him standing behind her and singing like a Filipino folk song, or, you know, like, that's forever ingrained in my head. And at no point was he ever telling me, like, oh, like, why be a musician when you can make a lot of money doing something else? Because I come from a family of, like, doctors and lawyers and engineers. And I feel like that's the holy trinity of careers for Asian people. It's like, you are one of these, or you are nothing. And so that, having that kind of support from, you know, especially older generation folk, where they're like, don't you want to have money? It's like, I think he was the one that told me always that no matter what, as long as you are super passionate about what you do, then everything else will kind of work itself out, because you're just going to keep pushing forward and nothing will get in your way. And so, you know, having just a family that has supported me through this journey, and, you know, friends out there, and also, you know, my women percussion, female, awesome, badass friends out there, you know, share their stories and their experiences along the way. That's, I feel like that's how I've been able to put one foot in front of the other and be like, all right, I can keep doing this. I've got it.
Yeah. So on that note, what are you think some actionable things that community or people who aren't even in this industry can do to support and, like, fill in those gaps for women educators?
Yeah, I think it's important for the content to just keep coming and for it to be out there so people can know, like, the different types of things that they can get involved in to help and support what we do, and, or, you know, females anywhere, everywhere, doing what they're doing, like, keep doing it. But I feel like social media has really kind of transformed maybe life for a lot of people. Just, there would be so many things that I didn't know existed if it weren't for the internet. I'm like, how did people do this 30 years ago? But we need to keep creating opportunities and platforms for women like you and me, and for the ones that come after us, for us to just come together, have the conversation, and even for them to just, like, scroll online on Instagram or like TikTok and be like, oh my gosh, like that's possible. That's doable. Yes, it's doable. It's 2023. We want to make it doable. So here we are.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And I just have one last question to wrap this up. So knowing the knowledge that you have now, what is something you wish you would have told yourself as, you know, the 12-year-old who started percussion, or even you're the freshman year in college when you first wanted to do English? What is something that you wish you have known, told yourself, advice you would have given?
I think if I had been more confident in myself back then, I'm not sure if I would have gone the English route. I think it would have just been music all the way. In a sense, it took me a little bit of ignoring outside voices, a little bit of like, oh, are you sure you can make this work? Or, oh, do you know how much teachers get paid? Or, you know, the this and that. Having my goal in mind, I don't know, it's just trusting my gut. Like, girl, trust your gut and then just go with it, because really, especially like in this day and age when there are just so many different ways that you can, one, have a career that you're passionate about. And then two, like there are just so many opportunities within like music alone that I wish I kind of knew, had known about sooner. So I guess bringing it back to sort of the social media thing, but yeah, just trusting my gut and staying confident in myself. I think that's kind of what I needed to tell myself, whatever, 15, 20 years ago.
Amazing. And should people want to find you online, where can they find you? Social media, website?
They can find me at coolbeans_Brit. That has been my handle since I was in the fifth grade on Instagram. They can also reach out to me on Facebook, Brittany Baptista. It's Baptist with an A at the end. What else? And I work at Lake Travis High School, so you can also research me through that. So many mediums to contact me through. But I'm always happy to, you know, talk to anyone that might have questions or just wants to, like, hang out or make a new friend. I live in Austin. Like, I'm trying to make friends. It's so hard to make friends in your 30s. But, yeah, I'm really glad to have been on this podcast. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Theme song is by Humans Win. Audio production and cinematography by Jack Pentelio. For more information on Femme Forte, follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast and StrideTV.com. Don't forget to watch the next week's episode on the StrideTV app.